Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Radiant Light. You have tuned in to Awakening. And that was The Path of Not Knowing by Beth Green. It's wonderful to connect with all of you. I am your host and co-pilot, Michelle Mache. I do wish you all a happy, happy and content, and joy-filled, service-filled new year, new cycle. And new cycle for all of us, but really new perhaps earth cycle, because we have many cycles. You have your birth cycles, your transits, your solar return, if you will, and numerically or from a numerological point of view, you have your own cycle. So we're always in a new cycle, and it's, I think, really important, especially towards the end of the year, to renew, reflect on perhaps the road that you've walked, what it's meant to you, what your focus has been, perhaps what's worked for your highest good and what perhaps you might want to alter, shift, rearrange, adjust, or completely change, or maybe a new focus is coming in. And in saying that, I really do feel blessed and honored that we have Risa DeAngelis back on for the whole hour and a half, which will be wonderful. So we'll be able to go a little bit deeper, further, just be even more present, because we all have previously connected. And in saying that, we will be taking calls. And for that which is of us, for your path, your purpose, on a soul level, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but definitely appreciate people calling in with sharing of their path or what they've been going through or their understanding. That's what makes Awakenings very enriching experience, is that we're always learning, growing, and sharing, and teaching, learning, growing, and sharing, and then learning again. And we learn by listening to each other, and we learn by touching in with different people's points of views or understandings from their walk, their path, and their discipline, their training, their awareness, and just the good road that they have walked, just the good understanding that they have because of their own life path and perhaps even the integration of their own gifts. I do want to welcome also everyone at CosmicDimensions.com that's also streaming live here, and those that are listening later via the other podcast stations and also iTunes. We do feel your energy, your presence, even though we don't may not see some of you in the chat or hear from you via email. We do feel that resonant connection that we all are. As we all know, we're individuated aspects of the one. So yes, we're individual, individual path, likes, dislikes, but we are also all one. And so we do feel you and connect in with you in that oneness. So the number to call is 347-539-5122. Those of you that are wanting to listen perhaps by cell phone, or if you would like to call in with any questions, that's also the number, which I'll probably open it up to a well, first, I think I'm going to bring on Risa, and we're going to find out what else, what we're co-creating here, what we're all, we're gathered here in this co-creation. And with that, if we can just take a breath in and a breath out, and just reorient yourself to that you're right here, right now, connected fully, consciously with each and every one of us, and that we're open for the highest good, the most expanded consciousness, expanded awareness to be revealed and expressed through us as that divine point that we are, in full service and honor in the divine plan that is unfolding. So our guest today, our fellow spiritual traveler and teacher, is Risa DeAngelis. And Risa is the founder and director of Esoteric and Astrological Studies and Research Institute, which is a wisdom school in the ancient mysteries tradition. And this school is located in Santa Cruz, California, and the institute is the center for the study of esoteric, which is hidden and protected ancient and ageless wisdom teachings throughout the 24 books of the Tibetan, who was the scribe. The scribe was Alice Bailey. The preparation foundation of these teachings is a study of astrology, both personally and ray-centered. The Institute is connected with the inner esoteric groups within the United Nations and the new group of world servers worldwide. And there are classes there also, and you can connect with Risa at her nightlightnews.com, and this is for serious and aspiring students. And seekers are welcome here. And again, it's nightlightnews.com, and I will put that in the chat. And you can also reach Risa at 831-426-1143 if you have more interest in esoteric and astrological studies. And with that, I would love to bring Risa on. Hello, Risa.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody.
And everyone said, Tammy is saying hi. Wonderful. She reminded me that you were on, and I said, yes, I know. And some of you may know, might already be feeling this yourself, that a lot of us have been a little bit inward. And actually, before we went live on the program today, Risa and I were talking about that it is a time. And maybe you can go into that a little bit, because many of us, some are attributing to the end of the year, or, you know, I don't want to get sick. But I know for myself, as well as a few of my really good friends and colleagues that are similar-minded, we've just been feeling like being inward, just going within more and not as outwardly focused. And then, Risa, you were saying you've been feeling that way also.
Yes, I spent most of the time over the holidays by myself in contemplation of what was I doing alone. And then I realized that Saturn was going retrograde. And Saturn is retrograde right now and will be there till May. Saturn is our mind principle, the structure of our lives. And when it goes, when any planet goes retrograde, we turn inward. And that happened, I think it happened New Year's Eve. So it was leading up to that.
So if you're more sensitive, you might feel that? You might be drawn toward
that?
Okay.
Everybody feels it. Some people are sensitive enough and they actually act on it. Our minds go internal. Our structures are internalized. We have less of an ability to move outward. Michelle, I would like to do the Soul on Vocation and connect with everybody who's on the radio.
Oh.
Because I received a lot of emails, people saying, I'll be there on the radio with you, and I wanted to make a contact with all those points of light, and they actually span the entire United States in the triangle of light called the United States. I mean, there's California, there's Idaho, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Tennessee, Ohio, North Carolina, New York City, all of these people have said will be on.
Okay.
So I wanted to acknowledge them and acknowledge everybody else who's on, including Tammy.
Okay.
But I wanted to also say the soul invocation, which connects all of us together in this great light.
Okay.
So let us see that above our head, 6 inches, is a five-pointed star. This is the soul. And this soul connects us with spirit, and it's the bridge between spirit and matter. So there's a line of light between spirit coming all the way down to the soul above our heads and entering into our bodies and touching upon our chakras. And let us see all of our souls connected in one great light above the United States. Then we can say together the soul invocation.
Okay.
I am the soul.
I am
light divine. I am love. I am will. I am perfect in my design. And in saying this, we then identify as the soul, which lifts up our personality into the soul, and we stand at a six-pointed star. And then there's another integration mantra I'd like us to say, which is just a beautiful integration mantra for, we say it every morning, for humanity and the new group of world servers. And it's, I am one with my group, brothers and sisters, and all that I have is theirs. May the love which is in my soul pour forth to them. May the strength which is in me lift and aid them. May the thoughts which my soul creates reach and encourage them. In saying these two mantras, we've created a cross of intention.
Mm.
So we go up and down, and then we go side by side. And this cross of intention then encompasses all the beings and the kingdoms and each one of us as we're in this radio show. So that was what I wanted to do to prepare.
Mm, wonderful. Absolutely. I love the soul invocation.
It is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us an identity.
Yeah. Yeah. Our true identity, that we are that, the soul's expression, where the soul manifests, made manifest. So wonderful.
The personality, the physical body, the emotional, and the lower mind, it does all this work within our everyday life. And then it needs a place to go bigger and higher into a new state of unity. And when we take our personality and lift it up to the soul by saying the soul invocation, then we move into the dimensions of love and unity and peace, encouragement, courage, love, will. And so saying the soul invocation every day allows us to then have that peace within the spiritual realms. And the soul then directs the personality, and then everything that we do in the world, once we've identified with the soul, we do with the aura and radiation of goodwill. These are specific steps in the path of the learning of the disciple.
Mm-hmm. Which all of us, many of us have taken that on to have that discipleship or that inner discipline, if you will. How important, Risa, do you feel this refocusing is for everyone right now? It really is coming from the soul.
Well, as I have mentioned before, there's a new kingdom being created on Earth. Humanity has reached the humanity in its physical, emotional, lower mind form is the highest level to be reached in form and matter on the planet. And so now it's the a new kingdom is being built. We have the plant, the mineral kingdom, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, and the human kingdom. And the monad, which is the will of God, has developed through these kingdoms. And the human kingdom is in the flower of its existence.
Mm.
So because it's reached the highest level it can go, the new kingdom is being formed, which is the kingdom of souls. And so humanity is being directed and reoriented towards that kingdom, because for us to be able to evolve on the planet now, we must enter into the soul level. And that's why the soul invocation is so important, because it gives one the exercise and the intention and the actual words of lifting the personality with intention up to the soul. When the soul, and well, like I said, when the soul directs us and we enter into the kingdom of soul, which is the bridge between spirit and matter, then we radiate goodwill. When we radiate goodwill, humanity who receives that goodwill is then able to function within right principles, right thinking, right action, and right relations. The work that we teach in our school is actually like giving theorems or algebraic, like algebra, where you have, what do you have in algebra?
What do you have in it? The equations? The equations?
Yeah, that's right. The word is equations. It's like giving equations, and this is how you function. This is what you do. If you do this, this is what occurs. It's very, very specific. Esotericism is very, very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you just had an experience of Saturn retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
What occurs with Saturn retrograde is Saturn is Ray 3, which is the mind principle. When Saturn is retrograde, or when any planet goes retrograde, we become internalized and we cannot externalize easily.
Mm.
So when Saturn goes retrograde, Saturn is the mind goes inward thinking, experiencing internal realities, and you forget what you're saying or you can't find the structure of your thoughts. And that was an experience that I just had on the radio, and I wanted to identify that for everybody so everybody would know that will happen. And
it's been happening to me all week.
And so, you know, when we realize through astrology and esotericism what is occurring energetically and what is falling to earth and when, we stop the judgment of the self and of others. And we only judge because we don't know anything else to do. We're trying to give explanations to phenomena that we don't understand. And so we fall back on judgments, because that's all we have. But once we have the ideas presented in astrology and esotericism, we are able to say, oh, I see, Saturn's retrograde. Saturn's the mind. Retrograde's internalized. Oh, I see. So therefore, we aren't going to be able to think as well as we usually do and externalize it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say one more thing is going to happen on the 11th, which is Sunday. Mercury is going retrograde.
Yeah, someone's asking right now. Lady Focus is concerned with the Mercury retrograde. So we're going to have Saturn. We have Saturn retrograde, and Mercury is going retrograde.
Mercury will retrograde on Sunday at exactly 8:43 a.m. in the morning Pacific time. So we're going to have two planets that work with the mind and the structures of our daily life retrograde. So we're going to have a double internal process occurring.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important to understand, because when planets go retrograde, it's time for reassessment, review. And I tell teachers, never teach anything new when something's retrograde, especially Mercury's retrograde, because the mind is trying to assess the past 3 months. The mind is not capable of being alert enough to bring in new information. So until the end of January, we will have Mercury retrograde in Aquarius. So two things will be retrograding. Also, when Saturn is retrograding, which Saturn is our daily life structure, our daily life schedules, we'll be reassessing what are those daily life structures and schedules. And we, again, won't be able to materialize or externalize those schedules as easily as before.
Mm-hmm. You know, I always seem to be just a little ahead of the slope. Well, wait, when did Saturn go retrograde?
I think it was New Year's Eve. Let me check.
Okay. Yeah, I'm always a week or two ahead of the slope, because this structure reevaluating, and I feel like I was focusing on it, but it seems that when Saturn actually went retrograde, that it's become more emphasized or focused, that this is what you're to be doing.
Well, as Saturn retrograded on New Year's Eve in Virgo, and Virgo is the planet where we are to assess what our daily structures and life is about, and Virgo is also about the hidden consciousness gestating to be birthed out into the world. And so when Saturn's retrograde, Saturn takes the structures of that and fully assesses them and reviews them, makes sure that they are clear, but they're internal when it's retrograde.
It's all internal.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost like we're being drawn to this process, you know?
Well, it's our way of, when planets go retrograde, it's our way of assessing. It means that we've been filled up. We're filled up with enough information. And we need to assess the past months since that planet was last retrograde in order to come to the present. We just fill up. And if we don't rest, contemplate, assess, then we can't bring forth something new when that planet goes direct.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So part of the retrograde then is we've been filling, which is true, we've been filling up
right
with our life experience, inside information, what, just living. And so the retrograde
right
comes, are we, so it's time not to fill up then, in a sense?
That's right. No more new information should come in. We are to assess, since that planet was last retrograde, we are to assess the plans, ideas, thoughts, everything we've been doing in the world. Assess and see how are they effective, where do they need to be changed. We don't do anything new until the planet then goes direct. And then we have an assessment of the past, an assessment of the present and future, and then we can bring forth something new.
Mm.
It's really important with Saturn retrograde, especially for businesses. Businesses. And Saturn is a social and also Capricorn ruler business planet. When Saturn goes retrograde, it's good for businesses to say, okay, pull back. What have we done? What do we need to do? When it goes direct, what new things should we bring out into the world? They assess their structures. That's the function of Saturn retrograde.
Well,
on Mercury retrograde, we assess our thinking, thoughts, ideas, plans.
So Mercury is more the thoughts and the plans, and Saturn is the structure.
That's right. It's also the structure of the mind, but that's getting into esotericism.
Yeah, the Saturn is, because the mind is a structure of, yeah, the energy. So now, that's interesting, because I start back teaching at Agape Spiritual Center, my meditation for spiritual unfoldment, and I was thinking of making some changes. I haven't been there since the summer month. So
when
I don't,
do you begin?
January 12th.
Oh, how interesting.
And then returning, and it's actually interesting that I'm returning. Yeah.
We return to things sometimes, oftentimes during the retrograde. So if you're going to be actually teaching, then, and this is to teachers, it's best to realize that you're teaching in an internalized atmosphere,
yeah,
and that the architecture of the minds of the people are internalized.
Mm-hmm.
And so go slow. Mm-hmm. If you need to teach new material, teach it at least three different ways or three times. Always assess and ask what did they hear? What did they hear? What did they understand?
I like that. Teach it different ways. I like that.
Mm-hmm. When we are in Mercury retrograde times, we become Virgos.
Mm.
There is an extreme internal analysis going on for most of humanity. Now, however, the people who were born with Mercury retrograde become Geminis.
Oh, interesting. I have a couple of friends that were born with Mercury retrograde.
Uh-huh. So when you Mercury retrograde, people start talking in Mercury retrograde times, and the rest of the world falls silent. It's a phenomena that makes me laugh.
Yeah, one of them says it's the one time that people can more understand her. It's interesting.
That's right.
Is that true? Because
that's right.
Yeah,
that's
usually
right.
A lot of people with the Mercury retrograde don't understand her, and then when the retrograde happens, she says more people understand her.
Well, let me say why.
Okay.
Mercury retrograde people also think they say something, but they haven't really said it. Mercury retrograde people who were born with Mercury retrograde think they say something, but they actually don't. half of what they've said is left unspoken. It's internalized. And they think and hope other people hear them and understand them, but at times we can't because you haven't said it. Mm. And it's just a phenomena of Mercury retrograde. Mercury retrograde people are more like Virgos, and they're internally assessing and analyzing. Their function and task is not necessarily to externalize, except when Mercury goes retrograde, then they can.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully somebody is around listening to them.
But what you say I found so true, because sometimes she'll say something and I'm like, you didn't completely say that before.
That's right. That's right.
But she so hears it in her head.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing.
It's interesting. I tell Mercury retrograde people they need to wear T-shirts and say, I am Mercury retrograde.
Exactly. Yeah, I may not... I may be having an internal dialogue that you're not hearing all of it, but I am. So.
That's right. And why can't you hear it?
Yeah, exactly. Why can't you? Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. She's actually someone said, well, you're psychic, aren't you? I said, yeah, but I'm not doing a telepathic reading here.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Oh, wonderful. Now, Risa, one of the things I wanted to have you touch upon is this, which actually goes into this, the Saturn idea that we're having this reevaluating and this slowing down. It's interesting also that we're having both of those planets retrograde in the beginning of 2009.
That's right. Well, I think that we really deeply have to assess what happened in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Especially at the end part with the breakdown of the financial system.
Mm-hmm.
The structures are deeply unsustainable as they've met with their unsustainability and they have broken down. We're in a quiet period now between now and the inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
However, after the inauguration, it will no longer be quiet. It will continue its descent.
Mm.
I also want to point out that of the inauguration, when President-elect Obama becomes president, he will become president in a Mercury retrograde.
Oh, that's right.
Which is a very interesting situation. So, therefore, it means that he will be very internalized and detailed and discriminating in his thinking before he presents his plans to humanity. It's actually excellent at this point in time.
Mm. Mm.
It's good for us who understand astrology to understand that his presidency will begin under a Mercury retrograde. He must do some deep internal thinking about what we should do about our world and our country. And he has the ability to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he will be helped by the Mercury retrograde.
Yeah, and interesting what you're saying, because that's exactly what we need right now in this bridging time is... We don't need that knee-jerk reaction. We need contemplative response, you know.
That's right.
Which he seems to have anyway in his natural demeanor. I think even on your site you had, I went there earlier.
I did.
You had the new
I
year.
Put Obama's chart
put
on
Obama's
the site.
Chart. Yeah.
The winter solstice and the new year, all three of those charts were there. If I feel like that our my astrology my columns on the website are classes, and so I often say every once in a while to people who are readers to create an esoteric journal and to print out the information that I post on my website so that they begin to have a journal and a log of esoteric teachings, including the astrology charts.
Hmm. Yeah, now somebody's asking in the chat, well, Drita, we're not allowed to marry or start anything new in a retrograde.
It's not allowed.
It's, yeah.
Let's use some different language.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then it makes us less that we're, it's that a Mercury retrograde situation, in Mercury retrograde, things are hidden from us.
Mm-hmm.
As our mind is internalized, the whole world has gone into a state of internalization. And information, data, it's hidden. What happens is that if we do anything major during a Mercury retrograde, once the Mercury retrograde and Mercury turns direct, all the stuff that was hidden from us is then revealed, and we go, oh my God, I never knew this. How could this have happened? And so we advise no major anything happening during Mercury retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
Unless that unusual couple comes along who are Mercury retrograde natally and born that way, and they decide to get married in a Mercury retrograde by a minister who's also Mercury retrograde, then there would maybe be an okayness to it, and it would be an unusual situation. But nothing major in a Mercury retrograde. No purchases, no decisions, no conclusions, no plans, no marriages, no buying of houses, no buying of cars, nothing.
Mm-hmm. Time to really kind of pull in, too, right? We kind of pull in our energy.
It's a time of research and internal energies, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And I have found sometimes during the retrograde, Risa, it seems like we can miss things. We don't see anything, right?
Yes, because they're hidden.
Mm-hmm.
They're hidden. Pieces of information are hidden.
And usually the truth is revealed after the retrograde.
That's right. Well, if things are no longer hidden or internalized, then they appear. It's so interesting. I have people who are realtors who follow the column, and they'll send me horror stories of what happened in selling houses during a retrograde.
Mm.
I want to go back to President-elect Obama's chart.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, just give everybody information. When he was born, Mars was 22 Virgo.
Mm.
In the sky, Saturn is 21 retrograde Virgo. So the Saturn in the sky is touching on his natal Mars in Virgo. So he is naturally an internalized thinking person, naturally goes in deep inside to assess and discriminate the best policies.
Mm.
So this Saturn retrograde is touching his natal Mars in Virgo, so he will have double help here.
Mm. He's really, I look at his energy, and very often you see people that incarnate at a certain time and embody the energies and the focus that we need at that time.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
He really seems to.
I want to talk about that a little bit because it's really important in the work that we do there.
Okay.
Some of the major leaders in our world, past and present, are talked about in the books that we study. One is Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln was considered an avatar. And an avatar is a word in which it means that humanity had a deep need for something that liberated them. And their deep need called an energy into our planet that would eventually give them that liberation. Humanity had the need for freedom.
Mm.
And Abraham Lincoln took on the mantle of that responsibility to bring freedom to humanity as best as he could at the time when he lived.
Mm.
And so we feel in many cases that Barack Obama is bringing forth that next level of freedom for humanity as best as he can in his time, which is our time now.
Mm. So that's why that happens then, that embodiment is called forth. And
yes, it is.
It's almost as if so much of that energy is put in that individual, in that being, that it just, you can see, they just exude it in all parts of their life, you know,
they live their purpose.
Yes.
They live their purpose.
That's beautifully, oh, I love that. They live their, oh, yeah, they live their purpose. I'm writing that in the chat. I love that. Because I feel like that's more and more of what we're all meant to do, whatever way or whatever level, but to really see somebody that lives their purpose is such a, you know, a gift to behold. It really is.
The leaders in our world are leaders who are in a stages of initiation and discipleship,
mm.
whether they are capable of doing their work well or not. The fact that they are in a place of leadership is part of their testing. And we have had leaders who are were not capable, leaders who stumbled and fell, leaders who were excellent, who were avatars, avatar like Lincoln, disciples like Theodore Roosevelt and his wife, and then others who were given their initiatory task of leading humanity in the light, but they were still incapable yet of assuming their leadership. And we, as we have seen this in our recent leadership in our country, many of us felt compassion for the leaders who did not see that their responsibility was to lead humanity in the light, towards the light, mm-hmm. which is the task of the United States, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so leaders all over the world are in a state of testing, and this is their task, to lead their people. In the morning time when we do our meditations, we do a healing meditation where we place the Christ in the center as a great sun of light, and emanating from him comes this light of healing. And the healing angels show up around the planet, and we stand with the Christ, who is the great healer, with Mary, who is the mother of healing, with the Tibetan, who is a great healer himself also. He wrote Esoteric Healing, the book. And we call the world leaders every morning to come and stand in the light of the Christ so that their eyes and their hearts may be, minds may be open, so that they may see the task they're given to lead their people, to take care of them, to feed them, to give them all the basic necessities so that humanity can reach up into the soul level. Mm. So we place all those leaders with their responsibilities into the light of the Christ each morning.
Mm. Now, can you speak a little bit, because there's a misnomer that sometimes, and you said lived up, and that to me that was the key, that they lived up to their soul's purpose or their potential,
uh-huh.
and that not you. Sometimes people don't, or it falls short. So you can have that potential or that possibility, which is reflected in the chart, right? But whether somebody does what they need to be that is another thing, right?
Yes, because, you know, a baby crawls before it walks.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the leaders are in the crawling stage.
Mm.
And so they are given over and over and over and over again the leadership responsibilities so that in their leadership they can learn and grow.
Mm.
Sometimes they can, because they are new to leadership, they can get caught in the forces not
mm-hmm.
of the light.
Okay.
And so sometimes that happens too. It's their developmental stage. And so humanity itself has to be able to see what is light and what is not light.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the responsibility of having that discrimination if they can, and oftentimes we only learn that discrimination through suffering, so that they can stand on the forces of light. But they have to learn to discriminate what is light and what is dark first.
Mm. And that's
the suffering we are and have been going through and will go through will allow us to have more of the discrimination. That's also part of Saturn.
Mm-hmm. That, to have that discrimination?
That's right. Saturn is called the dweller on the threshold, esoterically. He stands at the door and he says, are you ready to go through this door of initiation? Can you discriminate between light and dark? And that's part of the test that all of humanity will be going through.
Mm-hmm.
Can you discriminate between good and not good?
Yeah, I've seen people at that. Sometimes they don't go through.
Because they aren't ready yet. They haven't had enough experiences in form and matter to give them the discriminating processes that eventually everybody comes to.
Mm-hmm. At some level.
Sometimes we have leaders in our world whose function is to point out to us exactly what the forces of darkness can do. And we had that in Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
The gift he gave to humanity was that he pointed out through his actions and his people's actions what evil can do. It basically destroys. And so it gave humanity the eyes to see and the discrimination to understand, this is this is part of what the forces of darkness do. They destroy.
Mm-hmm. No, we definitely did see that.
We saw
that and lived through that.
And the annihilation of the many segments of humanity, the cultures, and one in particular, was the great sacrifice for us to be able to see it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very big statement.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah. Lets us be able to see that.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And in the seeing, we then make a choice.
That's the choice point where you can get on the cross or not, right?
We're always on a cross, Michelle. There's three crosses. The cross of experience,
mm-hmm.
the cross of the soul, and the cross of spirit. So when you say getting off the cross, you're saying get on the cross.
Well,
all of us are on one
point,
of the crosses.
Yeah, but then you go to that next level if you once stepped away.
Yeah,
that next
we get off the one cross and
the
get on the
cross.
Other
That's
one.
That's what I was meaning, yeah, the one cross, yeah.
Yeah, and notice again that cross, the symbol of the cross is the most ancient of symbols on our planet, because what it signifies actually is we came from spirit and entered matter, and then we went out into the world.
Yeah.
The ultimate sacrifice of the angels of God, of which we are.
Well, it's the even cross, right? It's the even, not the... Because I had years ago, I did a workshop on the getting on the cross and the initiation, and somebody that was Jewish made a big stink and said about the cross, and I said, it's the even cross of living vertically and materially, you know, and being centered in that, not the uneven cross of Christianity. So a lot of people don't realize the oldest symbol was the even cross. In other words, the vertical line and the horizontal line are even, and that is more universal or more esoteric. It's, you know, generalized. The cross of, not that one is better or not, but it's just the cross of the Christian or Catholic cross, the vertical line is the longest, and the horizontal line is shorter, quite a bit shorter. So... just to clear that up out there, we're not talking about a specific religion. This is...
No, we're talking about the cross of spirits entering matter.
Yes.
And then focusing out in their daily life among one another. That is the cross. That's what the basic cross means.
Yeah. The horizontal is the material plane.
And so to go deeper into that, the Christ was crucified on the cross because it means... what it meant was that all the angels of God sacrificed themselves, entering into matter, in order to bring light to matter.
Yes, light into matter. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're doing that even more so consciously, as we're all more inward right now. It really does feel like that drawing in that light into that the depth of matter.
That's right, especially during this time, where the light is kind of hidden, and every single day there's just a teeny bit more light. We have to remember that when we think of ourselves as absorbing the light,
mm-hmm.
that we also stand on that cross of matter on the horizontal level.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of the new group of world servers, we radiate out light to humanity. This is part of one of the tasks of the new group of world servers. Identifying with the light, being the light, radiating it out to humanity.
We radiate it out.
Right.
I love that. Love that. Now, can you speak a little bit, because I was reading some stuff earlier, I think it was last week even, on your site, and Risa, you were talking about, through your writing, through the words, that these Capricornian tasks that we've come in to do that are even being more highlighted, and you were even weaving it into what's happening on the financial plane, asking ourselves, how are we serving others? And that soon that we must analyze what lies behind our money. Where does it go? Where does it come from? You know, how to maintain you know, communities, through our conscious financial structures and perhaps new structures. And what I was reading on the site, you were talking about how that's a Capricornian focus, and you tied in the rays to that, which I guess is ray three.
Yes, rays one, two, and three. Capricorn brings in rays one. Esotericists are cringing at what I just said. Capricorn brings in rays one, three, and seven, and I'll explain that. First of all, Capricorn is about our civilization.
Mm-hmm.
Pluto is in Capricorn now, which means that what we know is our civilization is going to go through an intense transformation, because we've come to the end of the way we can handle our civilization and the way we've done it so far. Now, every single sign brings in or absorbs mm-hmm. a ray, and it's the rays in the Big Dipper. There's seven stars in the Big Dipper,
mm-hmm.
and these seven stars are like the seven Elohim or the seven creator gods, and these rays pour down through the signs, through the sun, through the planets, and into humanity, the kingdoms, and so forth. Capricorn works with rays 1, 3, and 7. Ray 1 is the will of God. Ray 3 is divine intelligence. And ray 3 is also money, the gift of, or the energy called money. And ray 7 is the new culture and civilization.
And this is, we're co-creating this.
And so what is happening here is that with Pluto in Capricorn, Pluto is going to transform our structure of civilization, Capricorn. It is the will of God for this to occur, because we've reached the end of four cycles. It is the divine intelligence that we must use in terms of the energy called money, which powers and fuels our culture. And in the creation of the new, after the breakdown, the new culture and civilization is going to be created. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, we have to ask ourselves, how are we using our time? These are all Capricorn, and Capricorn works with time, money, civilization, our day-to-day willingness and will, the order of our structure and structure of our lives. How are we disciplining ourselves? What is the structure? The old structure is not working. We are in an interim state. We have to ask, how are we going to create a new structure? We start with what we have. Where is our money? Is it local? Or does our money go to the banks that goes then to fuel the wars and all the different questionable things that are happening on our planet?
Mm-hmm.
What do we do with our time each day? What is the discipline within our lives? All these questions have to be asked. Where is our money? What is happening to our money? Well, where does it come from? What are we paying for? All these things have to be asked, especially during the month of Capricorn. Now, esoterically, tremendous amounts of things on many different levels, 49 different levels, happen within each month's sign. This is one part of it.
And what's the other?
That's one part of it. That's our daily life, asking, what is our time being used for? Are we valuing our time? What is our money being used for? Where is it going? What are we buying with it? Those are questions on the horizontal level.
Mm-hmm.
On the vertical level, which we always have to have both, we must understand what the story of Capricorn is. I have it on my website for next week, but I'm going to tell you now.
Okay.
And Capricorn is the sign of initiation. That means that the light of Capricorn is the light of initiation. Now, every single sign from Aries through Pisces has a light.
Hmm.
And it's the light in which there is a relationship between personality, soul, and spirit. And each one of those signs, beginning with Aries, tells a story of the light within us connecting ourselves with our soul and spirit.
Mm.
When we start with Aries, Aries is just a little circle with a point of light in it, searching for where it's supposed to go. But once we come to Capricorn, the light is quite focused, and it's called the light of initiation. Discipleship, Scorpio, the light in Scorpio is the light of discipleship. The light in Sagittarius is also the light of discipleship, seeking initiation. Now, what do all these words mean? They're esoteric mm-hmm. words. When we come to Capricorn,
yeah.
we have been on a long and arduous journey from Aries. We're pretty weary, and we're pretty much ready for a rest. We became a disciple in the deep waters of Scorpio. We got on a white horse and had a bow and arrow in Sagittarius, and we rode over the plains until we found the base of the mountain in Capricorn, because we knew that rest would be at the top of the mountain. Because that was the end of our journey. We were going to become initiates. We were going to go to heaven. That was it.
Mm.
So we finally reached the base of the mountain in Capricorn. We become a goat, because we need to have those goat's hoofs to go up the mountain. And we climb up to the top of this gorgeous mountain. We turn into a unicorn, a very blessed animal.
Mm.
And we see this beautiful rising sun. And we lay down on the ground. And we let this beautiful light supernal pour into our bodies. We think we're done. It's all over. We're resting. We did a long journey. It's over. And as we're slaying in this warmth, and we hear a cry from the valleys of the earth. And we sit up and we think, what is this?
Mm.
And we hear that it is humanity in the earth crying, suffering, and sorrowful. And it is only the initiate who has enough information and love and care and teaching who can save humanity and serve them.
Mm.
So with great reluctance, yet with great will, Capricorn, Ray 1, will, the initiate stands up, absorbs into the Ajna center, which is the horn of the unicorn, that light supernal, bids the sun adieu, turns around, walks back down that mountain.
Mm.
Can you imagine the sorrow? Mm. But can you imagine the willingness to do it? Walks back down the mountain, opens the gate to Cancer, which is back into humanity, and walks into Aquarius and serves suffering humanity in Aquarius. That is
wow.
the sacrifice of the initiate. And that is the esotericness of, or the vertical arm of the Capricorn story.
Mm. To keep on. Mm.
And so then we have the meditative seed thought for that, which we now understand. And we will say it during the new and full moon meditations, which are, lost am I in light supernal, yet on that light I turn my back.
Mm.
Beautiful. Now, in Aquarius is about community and working with like-minded people. That decision to turn around and serve humanity is made by the self, the greater self, the soul, the will, because you've absorbed, as the initiate, you've absorbed the will of God into you. I will serve now.
Mm-hmm.
Once you enter Aquarius, you look around and you find a like-minded people and form a community of servers. And that's the new group of world servers.
Mm.
Because humanity needs groups to help them now. We need to work in groups, not alone.
It really is that time, isn't it, of connecting in a group way. So individually,
yes, because that's Aquarius.
Okay, so the individual expression for the group And I find, Risa, maybe you can speak to this too, that people have to, without really developing through the teachings, esoterically, well, mentally too, mentally, emotionally, on both those planes of existence, sometimes people can be led astray because there is such a group focus. If they don't have that discernment, if they haven't gone through that initiation to discern what is really true or of the highest good, or really of expanded consciousness, I think that's something people are going to have to be aware of as we are moving into more and more of a group focus.
Yes, we are. Aquarius is about the group, and it's about the forming of communities. And as our country, our world, goes through the breakdown, mm-hmm. and we start having less and less of what we're used to, we will have to depend upon each other to assist in all the different pieces and parts that we need. And that's how we will begin to form community. And community is the Aquarian function, task, forming communities, working together. Because as I said before, the soul can only work in groups. It doesn't work with the individual anymore. Mm. Now, for those people who are in a group, and perhaps they are deluded by their teachers mm-hmm. in the group, that is a developmental stage in which they will learn discrimination.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
that's
it's
happening
good.
For a reason then. Okay.
Yeah, it happens for a reason.
Because I see that a little sometimes, and, I always have to, I guess I have to know that it's always for the highest good, that they're learning something, I guess.
They're learning discrimination. So here, now
okay.
Michelle, it's very important to use specific language, and I'm mm-hmm. saying this to everybody.
Okay.
It's not just for the highest good, and it's not just whatever they're learning. They're learning discrimination.
They're learning discrimination.
And that is one of the important qualities of the soul that the disciple must have, discrimination. Remember,
so
they're
learning discrimination. So I call it spiritual discernment. But they're having to learn
that's
it.
That's the
on,
same thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Spiritual discernment.
Okay.
And they'll learn it through being disappointed by their teacher, or
okay.
realizing that the teacher isn't telling the truth, or that the teacher is deluding them. Or I have some people who write me and say. It's interesting. I just thought about it this morning. People who write me and say, you have to see this teacher. She's channeling Dwakul. And I have to say very gently to the person, I need to tell you that this is not occurring.
Yeah.
And I want you to be aware that the Tibetan is not going to be giving information again until the mid-2020s.
Right.
He's just not, that's not what he's doing anymore. He completed a tremendous amount of work with Alice, and
yeah.
he won't be doing anymore until we absorb it.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, we haven't even absorbed that yet, and that's just starting to bear out now. It's just
that's
coming
right.
in now, so it's,
right.
It's very relevant. Good point. But I like what you said, that we need to remember, though, that that's their form of learning that discernment.
That's right.
Or discrimination or spiritual discernment,
mm-hmm.
however you want to term it,
mm-hmm.
that that makes me feel better. And I kind of knew that on some level, but hearing you say that really does put forth that, look, they're in this learning curve right now, learning that,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps the way they're having to do it isn't going to be as pleasant. But like you said, out of that disappointment, they come to know, number one, they come to be able to learn to know how do they know what's truthful.
And also out of the emptiness that maybe they will encounter of this is not fulfilling the spiritual needs.
Mm-hmm.
Then there comes the disappointment, and then again another seeking level, and then they go to the next level of seeking. So mm-hmm. it's every single step of the way is a developmental stage. Even though it sometimes is tremendously filled with suffering, of course.
Yeah. It's hard for me to see that because I didn't have to learn. I had actually very good teachers. So you did have to learn kind of old school of learning that discrimination or that spiritual discernment. So I've, you know, naturally, and also my little psychic tuner says, beep, 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 that's not, you know, this person is full of, you know, BS.
Also, you know what, Michelle?
Hmm.
Whatever teachers a person is with, that teacher or that teaching or that religion is fulfilling some level of the same vibration that person is on.
Okay.
So they have been attracted to it because it's part of their developmental stage of their preparation.
Okay. So it's an energetic match.
Right. It is. It is.
Okay.
And
well, I'm glad we mentioned that. I feel better then. I feel better.
There's always evolution.
Yeah.
We always move on and move forward. So this was a disturbing thing for you to encounter when you would see people.
And I'm seeing it now. And sometimes people coming to me, you know, personally or sometimes in group or even emails of certain people, and not to cheat them out of their own learning, because I know people, even if they're wrongly going in a certain direction, they won't necessarily listen. So I always recommend that they develop their own inner knowing, and usually it goes back to something emotionally and mentally that's on the mental plane, that the learning is not there. The mental acuity, if you will, isn't there, and then also there's some emotional need. But beyond that, you know, I think you can't say anymore, but you've greatly believed me. You've given me some wonderful insight here that just to look at it as this is the learning that they're going through. This is their part of their evolution. They have to, this experience can give them that, or what they take from it, that discernment that they need.
Right.
Yeah, so that, I feel so much better about that now. Yeah.
Isn't it interesting?
Well, it puts it in context for me.
Yeah, and the truth always liberates us.
Yeah.
The information and the truth liberates us. When we resonate with a piece of information, well, we know that's a truthful piece of information, there's liberation.
Yeah. And also that my little ego mind doesn't have to do something, or the personality, because that's the part that
totally
wants, right, to act or respond.
So totally true.
It's like all is God, all's in hand, you know, the evolutionary process is happening anyway. So
that's right.
So that was, thank you for that. That was a great reminder for me of that. And I think in this Saturn, you know, what you're talking about with this retrograde, perhaps there will be more, and definitely with the Mercury at the first part of the year, but that slowing down to really look and see, you know, is this really resonating with me? Is this really right, you know, or am I seeing what I'm seeing, you know, what I think I'm seeing, or am I creating an illusion or delusion for myself? I think those are some very important questions people need to ask themselves, you know, in the next stage that's coming up here.
Also with Saturn, actually Mercury retrograde, with retrogrades we complete what's left undone in the past. And so we complete structures that we might have left undone with Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to become, we think to ourselves, we want to become more thoughtful and steady in the future. Sometimes with Saturn retrograde, we become cautious, fearful, and frugal. That's an extreme of Saturn retrograde.
Mm-hmm. Been a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you feel the focus in 2009 is, as you see with this, obviously this change and, you know, reviewing, which will create some change? What do you see, the major focus?
Well, we're going to, Jupiter enters Aquarius. That's a very important piece, transit. I have talked about it. Let's see. I think that's next week, too, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
I write so many columns, I can't remember when I write them. But Jupiter enters Aquarius, and what date is that?
That's, I think, coming up, maybe the 5th. I think it's the 5th or 6th of January.
Oh, it is the 5th.
It's the 5th? Okay.
Jupiter enters Aquarius. Jupiter stays in his sign for 1 year. Now, Jupiter expands us. Wherever Jupiter is, it expands us. But esoterically, Jupiter is Jupiter is the love aspect. The love aspect within the Aquarian age.
Like brotherhood or agape love, right?
The brotherhood. That's
okay.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Is that
that's right?
Would it be okay?
Yes, it is. It is that. It's okay. That wonderful. Yes. And also Jupiter, it's Ray 2. And so amidst all of the tumultuous, chaotic shiftings and breakdowns that's going to occur, the Jupiter, which is the sole ruler of Aquarius, which means Aquarius pours through Saturn and Uranus first to bring about the new, but then it pours through Jupiter. Jupiter in Aquarius is the love that underlies the happening of the times. And those are words that everybody should write down. Because whenever anything occurs, it's love that underlies the happenings of the time. Now, those words are from a very beautiful mantra from a time in Atlantis when we had a difficult time together as humanity.
Mm-hmm. And we have that memory. We have that memory still bubbles up in that Atlantean time.
We have that complete memory because it prepared the way for a whole new civilization. So this is the mantra. It's quite beautiful.
Okay.
I'm going to get the title of it because it's called the Mantra of Unification. It was used in our Atlantean times when the conflict was very great. What that meant was we were developing our emotions. We did not have a mind yet. Our teachers were on the planet. They gave us great magical works to do, which is how the pyramids were built, through desire and the ability to magnetize certain things. There was a great war in heaven. Our teachers had to leave. They left us with all the tools that they had given us. When they left, they saw that we were still actually not able to be left on our own. And actually, we were tested as a humanity. Are you strong enough to be on your own? We had great magical arts at that time, which was what we used instead of the mind. And there was a split in our humanity of the forces of darkness and the forces of light. The forces of darkness took over and began to manipulate form and matter and created great conflict and difficulty on our planet. The hierarchy looked down the teachers and said, what shall we do? And the only thing they knew to do was to destroy the planet. And that was what the Atlantean floods were. They destroyed the planet. However, they took from Atlantis certain people who had light within them, who were part of the forces of light, who stood on the fourth side of good. And this is the Noah's Ark. The Noah's Ark story was that the hierarchy took those of us who had light within us and knew goodness, placed us in what is called the Noah's Ark. And as you can see, two by two, all the species, all the creatures were going to be taken someplace. And then when the time came, new humanity and new creatures would be formed.
Mm-hmm.
We were taken to what is called the Gobi Valley, which is now a desert, and all of us, by the way, all the sands come over to the United States from the Gobi region because there are great whirlwinds. But anyway, at that time, we were taken by what is called the Manu, the creator, the being who creates new civilizations. We were taken to the Gobi Valley, And for thousands and thousands of years, while the rest of the planet was destroyed, humanity was recreated.
Mm.
And out of that came Abraham. And I'm going to stop at that story because we can continue that later on. But there was a great prayer that was given to those who were of the side of good in the Atlantean time. And this was the mantra.
Mm.
I'm looking for the
mantra
of unification right here. It was used in Atlantean times when the conflict was very great.
Mm.
And what we do is that we see humanity filled with a great light. And we say together, the sons of men are one and I am one with them. I seek to love, not hate. You see, in this mantra, you choose a side. So, and the sons of men, S-U-N-S, the light within man, I am one. The sons of men are one and I am one with them. I seek to love, not hate. I seek to serve and not exact due service. I seek to heal, not hurt. Let pain bring due reward of light and love. Let the soul control the outer form and life and all events.
Mm-hmm.
And bring to light the love that underlies the happenings of the time. Let vision come and insight. Let the future stand revealed. Let inner union demonstrate and outer cleavages be gone. Let love prevail. Let all men love.
Mm. I love that. I love with the outer cleavages be gone. It's really about the coming together, the springing.
Right. And so it says in the Tibetan books that for many of us, this mantra will be in the nature of a recovery of an old and well-known form of words that we once said in times of great, great conflict in previous lifetimes.
Mm. What do you think we're recovering?
Those words. That we understand, the timbre and tone and the intent of those words. We understand them. Mm-hmm. They're already in our hearts.
Mm-hmm. We know them. Now it's about living it, though, right? In a sense.
Well, and how we live it is first we start saying it again. And we understand the language and the words. And by saying it over and over, those words, we can begin to live them. We begin to live it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, love underlies the happenings of the time was an extraordinary piece of information for me.
Mm-hmm. I feel that so much of that was written, and even more importantly, that we know, as you're saying, we know this, that we know on a vibratory level that's in our being, and maybe we've understood it mentally, but now it really is about living these principles, this knowing. It has to be in our everyday living. It can't be just in the classroom and talk about it. We really have to live this.
You know, I agree with you. And then the question comes is, how do we do that?
Yeah.
How do we remember to live it? In one of my, as I've said before, the vision that I had for our group and our work in the world would be that we create a community in which people came to schools where we taught this material. And every day there would be the meditations where we would say these mantras. And then eventually we would remember them and we would start living them.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how do we start remembering and living them? Well, usually now we have to... Now, in the Aquarian Age, it's best done in a group.
Mm-hmm.
So it's group work, saying the mantra, the same words over and over every day, till they become part of our lives and we start living them.
Mm. The group helps to reinforce that. Now, we've got a couple of calls. I'm not sure. They might be people listening, but I want to just check in with them and see.
You have good timing, Michelle. We have, what, 15 minutes left?
I know.
We should let the people out there talk, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Hi, 928-649. You're on Awakenings. Did you have a question or a comment?
Yes, this is Annie Lawrence with Spiritual Talk Radio, and I've been listening in and loving all that you are sharing. It helps me to understand more about everything that's happening on the planet right now. And I guess what I would love to ask for is those mantras. Is there a way, particularly the soul mantra that you guys did at the very beginning of the show, I enjoyed that so much. Is there a way to get a copy of that?
Well, they are on my website, Annie. Thank you so much for your words. So they're on my website. Would that be an easy way for you to get those words?
Sure.
Or do you need me to email them to you individually?
I can get them. But could you point
okay.
me to where I would find them?
Yeah, where would on your website, Risa, the soul invocation, and that's www.nightlightnews.com. So nightlightnews.com. Those of you that are listening to Awakenings right now, that's Risa DeAngelis' site, nightlightnews.com.
Annie, why don't you email me, and everybody can take my email, so you can email me. We are reconstructing our website right now, and we've been at it for several months. We have this extraordinary man who's helping us in Albuquerque, and it's been a very slow process. All of the mantras are on the website, but maybe it's a little bit difficult to maneuver it. So why don't you email me, and I'll make sure that everybody who emails me gets the mantras, okay?
Now, I have the Risa Goodwill.
No.
Which one? Which better for you? Which is the better email?
Which email is best for me?
Mm-hmm.
It's risagoodwill@gmail.com.
Okay, so I'm going to put that in the chat too. So risagoodwill@gmail.com.
That's right.
Okay.
And if for some reason there's a problem, we should probably give the other email too, because sometimes one or the other might be down.
Okay.
And the next one is risa at
L-R-E-C.
.com.org. Risa@LREC.org.
Wonderful. Great. And then I also have to say, Live With Purpose, who's in the chat room, says, Risa, I give you thanks and praises. Happy New Year. I've been learning and growing by your readings and by your site weekly. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Living With Purpose. What a beautiful word.
It's not.
I want to say something before we go. I know we have about 10 more minutes, but I just want to mention something that's very special. This is coming from Los Angeles, correct? We would say we're coming from Los Angeles, Michelle?
Yes, because I'm in the
LA
area.
I know you're a little south. You're in the LA County. Are we in LA
yes.
County?
Yes.
Okay. Los Angeles is the sign Virgo. And Virgo gestates the new consciousness and the new reality. She is pregnant with the Christ child, which esoterically means the sign Virgo within the sign itself gestates the new soul consciousness, and it's hidden until it's time to come out. Now, Los Angeles is Virgo. So this radio show is coming out of Virgo, and it is no longer just gestating this quiet, silent, new consciousness, new child, the soul, but it is now a radio show is putting this information out into the world. Now, here is what's even more amazing. The Christ who is a being from Sirius, who anchors love and will. In the books, the blue books, it said that the Christ would begin his reemergence on the radio. And so, yes, so this radio show that I'm doing with you, Michelle, and with everybody who's listening is very special because behind it stands this information. So I told our group this morning, I want you to stand with me in the ashram, and I want to be us to be standing next to the Christ and the Tibetan, and this radio show is for them.
Mm. Wow.
For humanity.
And we've had some visions of that. So I think I emailed you that. So, something wonderful is moving through all of us, and we're being guided and directed. It makes sense in regards to the Christ energy, too. Yeah.
Are there any more phone calls?
There is. Annie, did you have any other? Because you're still on the air.
Yes, I am. And thank you for that. I actually did find it, the invocation online. So for
the soul invocation?
The great invocation.
The great invocation, yes.
I did find it on your website. So just to let everyone know, you can find it. It's not that hard. My question would be, I'm looking at possibly going back to a book that was published last year and starting a workbook, since it is kind of revisiting that book. Is that a project that would be okay to begin now?
Revisiting a book, revisiting anything is good during the Mercury and especially the Saturn retrograde, yes.
Okay, great. Well, thank you both.
Reviewing, revisiting, returning, reassessing all our retrograde tasks.
Mm. Great. Well, thank you both so much. I really enjoyed the call.
Well, thank you, Annie.
Of great information.
Thank you, Annie.
Thank you so much. Blessings to you.
Blessings to both of you.
You too, Annie.
And then 347-926, you're on the air. Did you have a question or a comment for Risa?
Yeah, I was in a little dilemma. I have wanted to know, who should I choose? I'm between two people that I like, that I want to talk to as friends. And, you know, I just wanted to know her insight on who should I go for. Should I go for the Aries or should I go for the Libra?
I don't do any personal answers on the radio because I don't have your chart in front of me. So I'm incapable of doing it. As much as I would like to help you, I'm incapable of doing it. And also, as an esoteric teacher and as an astrologer, I do not work in psychism. So I need your chart, and I can't do it until I see that. And I would also need to ask you a lot of questions.
To give yourself the best time, I would say, and I put Risa's address, website address,
email.
And the email is there too, risagoodwill@gmail.com. So give her email, or also you can go to her site at nightlightnews.com. Okay? But keep listening and absorbing, okay? So that you can shine your own light, you can share your own inner wisdom.
Okay,
blessings to you.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Okay. All right. Well, we're winding down 6 minutes. How do you feel about another invocation, Risa?
You mean, shall I say the great invocation? Yes, I would like us to do that.
Would you? Okay. I think because
the great invocation.
So much. Oh my God! My hands are tingling. In the top of my head, the whole. So there's so much energy right now. So much. And to just honor this inward focus that many of us are feeling, to honor those rays that are, you know, pulsating on us, and to go in a certain direction at this time, I think that would really be beneficial.
Let me get. I want to get the great invocation in front of me because when I'm on the radio, I sometimes forget things.
Yeah, I do a lot. So that's, and I'll just put this. And so, those of you also that are listening in the various sources, if you'd like to connect with Risa, you can at risagoodwill@gmail.com. And that's R-I-S-A and then goodwill@gmail.com. And then the website is nightlightnews.com. And I think before you say the invocation, Risa, I just want to thank everybody, because I think we'll end off with that and some music. Just I really, really appreciate all of you connecting and being disciplined and being a disciple on the path, and to keep on keeping on, and that you are coming here together sharing. I mean, just in the chat, there's just amazing, uplifting, connecting conversation, sharing. You know, and there's laughter and there's silliness. But there's also a lot of love. People are very welcoming to everyone that comes in the sacred space of empowerment. So we can be silly and goofy and laugh, but also if people tend to have a problem or an issue, there's always somebody right there willing to listen or make a suggestion. And it really reflects in keeping the vibrational frequency expanded and keeping that connection that is the truth of who we are, so that we're expressing more from the soul level and not overly from the ego personality. And then, Risa, as always, I really thank you for being here and sharing your insight, your love, your wisdom, and also really just appreciate you taking the time to share with all of us here that are part of this converging flow. So thank you so much.
Michelle, thank you for giving me the opportunity to do this. It's very important, and I am so grateful to be able to speak on the radio and speak for the Christ and to touch in with all the people who are on the radio. I love you all.
Mm.
And now let us do the great invocation. And but first let's do some visualizing. First, let us take ourselves to this great, beautiful mountain, and there's a beautiful ashram there. And we go up the mountain like Capricorn disciples, and we enter this beautiful garden. All around we see the building of the new culture and civilization. And some of us might be saying, I want to help do this. And in your saying of that, in the intention, you become part of the new group of world servers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's walk up the set of 12 steps and stand in this triangle of light, father, mother, child, spirit, matter, consciousness. Walk up the next set of 12 steps, and we stand in this beautiful ashramic room. We see above us that there is a great ceiling. It is filled with crystal light, and the force of Shambhala, the will of God, comes down into that ashram. We bring our light and blend with that light. We stand around with the hierarchy and the Christ. When we look up into the sky, we see the Big Dipper, the Pleiades, and Sirius, creating a great triangle of light in the sky, bringing us the will, love, wisdom, and intelligence of God. We stand with the Capricorn Lords, the light of initiation, understanding we absorb the light and serve in Aquarius. We stand and absorb the light of the sun, and we are grateful for the sun in the sky every day for its constant rhythmic presence. And now let us stand within the ashram. We'll say the great invocation, which is the great mantra of direction, and it will go down the pathway of light to humanity into their hearts and minds and all the kingdoms. So we'll say it together. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plant on earth, and so it is, and so let it be, and help us to do our part, and so let it be, and help us to do our part, and so let it be, and help us to do our part. And now together, let us say alms together. We'll say one, and we'll end our program, and I love you. Bye-bye, everybody.
Much peace and light. Walk this world together, one love, one light, one wisdom, one understanding, individuated aspects of the whole, of the all that is, we are that individuated aspect, experiencing and expressing God as us, we are constant state manifest, constant. Go out and enjoy the day. Shine your light.